connect with the program, call 800-387-8025 or visit the show online at rudymaxa.com. Welcome back to America's number one travel radio show.
And this portion of the program is sponsored by ReliefFactor.com. We've been talking about this outstanding product for several years now. If you've got pain or chronic inflammation, you really got to try Relief Factor. It's so easy as you just go to ReliefFactor.com and you can order your three-week trial pack for just $19.95. So stop popping those popular over-the-counter painkillers. You could be harming your body. Instead, get Relief Factor. Here's an email from Tim in Kentucky. He writes, I've lived with severe swelling in my joints and bone spurs in both hands. I've had surgery on my right hand 3 years ago and fully expected to have surgery on my left hand shortly thereafter. But I chose not to and I just decided to live with the pain. After hearing about Relief Factor on the show, I decided to give it a try. In a couple of weeks, I could tell the difference. I'm no longer waking in the middle of the night with hand pains and cramps. I'm so thankful I gave it a try. Relief Factor is all natural, contains just four ingredients. You can now get a three-week supply just to try out for only $19.95. If you suffer from aches, pains, or inflammation, check out ReliefFactor.com today and become pain-free. To learn more about Relief Factor or to get your $19.95 Quick Start Pack, visit ReliefFactor.com or you can find a link at the radio show website, RudyMaxa.com, by looking under sponsors. So let me ask you if you've heard of these countries. Let's see if I can pronounce some of them. Transnistria, Balochistan, Bagsamoro. Well, my author has. His name is Nick Middleton, and he has a new book out called The Atlas of Countries That Don't Exist. Nick is he's a geographer, a writer, a presenter of TV documentaries, and he teaches at Oxford University, where he's a fellow at St. Anne's College. He is in Oxford. We reach him there right now. Nick, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Hi, Rudy. Nice to be with you.
So you, let's get into a couple of these, just very briefly, a couple of these countries in a moment. But first of all, how did it occur to you to catalog so many countries, 50 of them, whose names most of us don't know and aren't recognized by a lot of other countries?
A number of drivers, actually. A few years ago, I went for a short holiday on the Isle of Man, mm-hmm. which is an island between Britain and Ireland, which has a huge degree of autonomy and actually has the world's oldest continuously operating parliament.
No, I did not know that.
There we are. It's not a part of the United Kingdom, nor is it a part of the European Union. And yet it uses the British pound, so on and so forth. Then a year or so later, I was reading a children's classic, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, to my then 7-year-old daughter. And this idea of there being a land that no one knew about behind the back of a wardrobe really appealed. And those two sort of ideas got together in my head, and one thing led to another. I started looking into the possibility of there being many unrecognized countries. And once I started looking, I was staggered by how many there are. I mean, there are 50 in this atlas of mine, but I could have filled it several times over.
Well, let's start with one. I mean, you know, I guess the tendency when I hear you talking about this is to think of some country with 7,000 people or 800 people for that matter. But I look at Balochistan, is that how you pronounce it?
Baluchistan.
Baluchistan, of course. Baluchistan with 13 million people. Tell me about Baluchistan.
There you are. It's a remnant of the British carving up their former territories and doing deals with other neighboring administrations. So it used to be part of what's now Iran, Pakistan, and a small sliver in Afghanistan. And when the Brits left that part of the world mid-20th century, we carved out these countries, which became India, Pakistan. We did a deal with today's Iran, as Persia as was. And this place called Baluchistan suddenly ceased to exist. It was a more or less autonomous place. And was chopped up and given to other countries. And yet, needless to say, the people who live in Baluchistan would really rather prefer to have their autonomy. So it's a country in the eyes of many of the people who live there, but not as recognized by other countries. So it's there, no one recognizes it internationally, and yet the people of Baluchistan, many, not all, would really rather like to have a little bit more autonomy, please.
And then even perhaps more odd is right in the middle of Copenhagen in Denmark is this sort of outlaw neighborhood called Christiania.
Christiania, yeah.
Christiania.
It's an old hippie commune. And these hippies, remember hippies, Rudy?
I think I used to be one, actually.
There you are. Well, in Denmark, they took over this, what was a derelict portion of old Danish Ministry of Defence land in the heart of the capital city, Copenhagen. And they've been living there as a sort of commune ever since the 1970s. And they have their own rules, they have their own schools, they have their own laws, slightly different from Danish laws. For example, soft drugs are freely available in Christiania, and yet the police from Copenhagen don't go in and close the place down. So it has quite a large degree of autonomy, and yet it's sitting right in the middle of this capital city of a major European country.
And tell me about Bang Samora in the Philippines, which is a Muslim enclave, as you describe it in your book.
Yeah, most of the population of Bang Samora are Muslims in an otherwise predominantly Catholic country. And they have fought outsiders for a greater degree of autonomy for hundreds of years. And it's been a very bloody and sad conflict over that time. They fought whoever's been in charge, more or less. Some call it the longest fight for freedom anywhere on the planet. And again, it has a degree of autonomy, but it's part of the Philippines. Culturally, it's different because most of the population are Muslim. They speak their own language. And yet, to all intents and purposes from the outside, it is a part of the Philippines. And this recipe is repeated all over the world. You even have some on your back doorstep, as you probably know. So there's Lakota, slap bang in the middle of the United States of America, which belongs to the Lakota Sioux.
Indian reservations, right.
Yeah, they did a deal. They had a treaty, signed a treaty with the U.S. government back in the 1860s, whereby their territory was theirs, according to the U.S. government.
And it includes go ahead. That includes, go ahead.
It includes the Black Hills.
Ah, yes, of North Dakota. I just want to re-identify you. I'm talking to Nick Middleton. He is a geography don at Oxford, and his new book is called The Atlas of Countries That Don't Exist. This is not a book with a lot of copy. It's graphically interesting with short facts about 50 places you may never have heard of, or I certainly have heard of 48 of them, that consider themselves unique unto themselves. Nick, do any of these countries have their own postage stamps or identifying flag?
Yes, well, they've all got a flag. That was one of the rules of thumb that I adopted for inclusion in this atlas. They've all got a flag. They've all got a claim to territory. They all have a population. They all have some form of government, and many of them have their own postage stamps. And, in fact, it's a way for some of the smaller ones, anyway, to actually earn a living and run their economy, to sell stamps and currency, in some cases, to collectors.
And doesn't one of them have plastic coins that you can only use at the company store, so to speak?
Yeah, that's right. That was a Cocos Islands in the Indian Ocean, which was run as a sort of family nation state for nearly 150 years, believe it or not. They grew little else but coconuts, and their workers were paid by the family in these plastic tokens, Cocos rupees, they were so called. And they could use them, spend them only in one shop because there was only one shop, and it happened to be run by the same family, strangely
enough. You
must
have had great fun doing this book.
It was a lot of fun. And as I say, I was amazed at how many places I had to choose from.
And it's very handsomely done. It's published by Chronicle Books. Do you have a website, Nick?
I do, yes. nickmiddleton.net.
That's easy enough. nickmiddleton.net. All right. We've only got about 30 seconds left, but Tuva is an interesting little thing north there of Mongolia.
It is indeed. It's a sort of counterexample in the sense that it was more or less autonomous, but chose, and I use that word in inverted commas, to join the Soviet Union in the 1930s, and is still part of Russia today.
Unbelievable. The Atlas of Countries That Don't Exist by Nick Middleton, and you can read more about this at Nick Middleton's website, which is nickmiddleton.net. Note the net at the end of it. And do you teach geography at Oxford still?
I do indeed, yes. Out of term at the moment, so I'm on vacation. But yes, I teach undergraduates at St. Anne's College, Oxford.
Well, I think this ought to be, this is a delightful book, easy to read, easy to leaf through, and just put it on your coffee table and watch how many of your guests come over and stop talking to you and pick up Nick's book. Nick, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Rudy.
And I should have said, this is Dr. Nick Middleton. His book, The Atlas of Countries That Don't Exist, from Macmillan, just a great book. We'll be right back here in Rudy Max's World in just a moment with Jason Harris.
Join Rudy Max's World with the Carries by calling 800-387-8025. Access the show anytime at rudymaxa.com. We'll be right back.